Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
Indeed it is, my friends. Good afternoon. James Golden here, a.k.a. Snerdly, with you here. WABC, Talk Radio 77. We are pleased to begin our program today, and we're going to jump right into it with a man that has shaken up the nation by running for the governorship of California, Larry Elder. Larry, welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Larry, you have done amazing things in the past few weeks, and I think most amazing is that you have exposed the media in California, as well as the mainstream media, for being biased on a level that was previously unheard of. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it wasn't previously unheard of. It was not unheard of to you, not unheard of to me, not unheard of to people who listen to your show, but unheard of to a lot of America. I was referred to by the LA Times, Bo, as the black face of white supremacy, all because I don't believe the narrative that America is systemically racist. So therefore, I am the black face of white supremacy. As you probably know, I was in Venice at a homeless encampment, and a white woman wearing a gorilla mask threw an egg at me. And pretty much it was ignored by much of the media, by the Washington Post, by CNN, by the New York Times, because I have an R at the end of my name. Had I been Senator Barack Obama campaigning for the presidency and some white woman wearing a gorilla mask threw an egg at him, they'd be calling it a hate crime. There would be an international manhunt. They'd be talking about it in Bangladesh. But because it's me, a tree fell in the forest, didn't make a sound. I'll give you another example. I've never, ever made a big deal out of the fact that I'm black and that I'm running, and that when I win, I'll be the first black governor of California. I've never asked for people to vote for me because I'm black. I've never asked people to vote against me because I'm black. But the media likes to play that game. So let's play it. Front page article, New York Times, Bo. Big article about Larry Elder, not once mentioning that I'm black, not once mentioning that when I win, I'll be the first black governor of California. And I'm fine with that. But on the very same page, equally long article about the woman who's, quote, the first female governor of New York, close quote, even though she only got it because Cuomo resigned. But that was a big deal because she has a D at the end of her name. I have an R at the end of my name, and I'm no longer black.
Exactly right. I want to go further with this gorilla mask incident, because law enforcement officials told the LA Times last Friday that the department was working on that case as a misdemeanor battery because the woman gave no indication, this is a quote, that she was moved by hate in a video taken at the scene. How else would you describe it? Someone in a gorilla mask comes at the only black candidate of national stature running for this seat, eggs you, and the cops make a determination instantly that this is not done on the basis of hate. If not hate, then what?
Well, the reaction of those officers in that department is not universal, because the sheriff of L.A. County, his name is Alex Villanueva, said this is a hate crime and should be investigated as such. Look, I have no idea what her motive was. All I know is this. 20,000 convicted felons have been released early during the coronavirus pandemic under this governor. Maybe she's one of them. Also, we have soft-on-crime DAs that don't believe in bail. They believe in cashless bail. So maybe she would have been in jail had it not been for cashless bail. I don't know. All I know is that had that happened to a Democrat, they'd be talking about it from now until the cows come home. And
exactly,
by the way,
right.
she was wearing Bo, a gorilla mask. Everybody keeps saying it's a white woman wearing a gorilla mask. At the risk of my sounding sexist, how do we know it was a mask?
Ooh. Well, you haven't lost your sense of humor, Larry. Okay, I want to delve in with the few moments we have left with you to this business that you are going to look. I've been following your campaign. You were running your campaign on traditional, what are called conservative values. You want fair taxes for the people of California, which in turn would produce more jobs. Why don't you state the platform that you're running on? What is it that you want for Californians?
I don't want California ever to be shut down the way this governor did, in a more severe way than did the other 49 governors. A third of all small businesses in California are now gone forever because he's paying people not to work. The one, businesses that are now open can't get workers. Crime is through the roof, up 40% in L.A., shootings and homicides, because, as I mentioned, 20,000 convicted felons were released early. We have a rise in homelessness. In 2004, when Gavin Newsom was running for mayor of San Francisco, he promised to end that problem of homelessness in his city in 10 years. That would have been 2014. Have you been to San Francisco? The average price of a home in California just hit, well, $800,000 because of the stranglehold environmentalists have over developers that can allow them to stop almost any project for any reason for any indefinite period of time. The average price of a home, $800,000, 150% above the national average. We have bad forest management, which is why we're having these severe fires. We're running out of water because we haven't added to our water infrastructure in about 40 or 50 years when the state was half its size. We're having rolling brownouts because we haven't adequately added to our energy grid, on crime, on homelessness, on decline in the quality of public education. Half of our third graders cannot read at state levels of proficiency, and those levels are low, and the math scores are even worse. His own kids were enjoying in-person private education while denying in-person government schooling for the 80% of the black and brown kids who are in government schools in here in California. And I only mention their race because people like Gavin Newsom pride themselves on caring about black and brown people, except when it comes to school choice, which black and brown parents want. And that's why they're so afraid of me, Bo, because they know I'm from the hood. I went to a public school. I know about the quality of these schools. I know how bad it is compared to when I went there. And they're afraid I'm going to break that sorcerer's spell that the Democrats have had over black and brown voters. And I can do that. And that's why they brought in the heavy lumber. Obama cut a commercial for him. Bernie Sanders cut a commercial for him. Elizabeth Warren did. But they never uttered the magic words, Gavin Newsom has done a good job for the people of California.
Because he hasn't. And now let me just bring in another city very quickly. There was a story the other day, Larry, that a kid in Baltimore had passed three classes in 4 years. He had a 0.13 grade point average.
Right.
He was at the top half of his school. This isn't just L.A. This isn't just San Francisco. If you go into community after community in blue cities across America, the diseducation of American children is occurring, and it is affecting brown and black children, as they like to say, in ways that should not be tolerated in any civilized society. Now,
it is a national crisis. 75% of black boys in California cannot read at state levels of proficiency. 75%. Not a typo. Math scores even worse. We have about 300,000 public school teachers in California. I read a study that said nationwide about 5% of all public school teachers are utterly incompetent. I have no idea if that number applies to California, but let's assume that it does. That's 15,000 teachers. The average year of 300,000 public school teachers here in California, guess how many are fired? 2.2. We wouldn't put up with that with the cops. Imagine if 15% of cops in L.A. were incompetent, planning evidence, using deadly force, racially profiling. That would be 500. We wouldn't put up with it. We're putting up with 15,000 public school teachers that are miseducating, undereducating, or not educating our kids. And the Democrats oppose school choice, so a parent can put their kid in a private school, a religious school, a charter school, or, God forbid, homeschooling, and the Democratic Party still gets their vote. What madness is this?
Now, the madness is that the L.A. Times, as you said, has accused you of being the face of white supremacy. And not just one,
the black face
of white supremacy, not just one columnist, but two columnists. Now, this hateful, hurtful language to me is part of what could have incited this woman in the guerrilla outfit to come and attack you, because this is just fomenting hate. They've also said, I've read the columns in the LA Times, that somehow or another, you are going to harm black people, particularly if you become the governor. Would you please explain to me, Larry, why you would like to harm black people in California?
Yeah, I'm the guy that wants school choice, which urban parents want, so I'm the guy who's harming black people. I'm the guy who wants to do something about crime. When you put out these prisoners, they end up in the inner city. They don't go to the suburbs. The victims are disproportionately black and brown people, so I, Larry Elder, want to harm black people. That's how clever they are. They're able to destroy the family by essentially incentivizing women to marry the government and allowing men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility, which is why 70% of black kids enter the world without a father married to the mother, as opposed to 25% of white kids. Then they give these bad schools. And then when somebody like Larry Elder comes along, I'm the bad guy. I'm the enemy. But the Democrats that have done all of this wear the white hat, and Larry Elder and Republicans, especially black Republicans, wear the black hat. That's how brilliant they are at indoctrinating America.
Governor Newsom's camp, his campaign said, under no scenario will he lose this election. What do they know that you don't know?
Well, they're spending so much money, Bo, about $75 million. It might be closer to $100 million when this thing is all said and done. I'm going to be outspent almost 10 to 1. And again, all these people have come in, like Obama, like Bernie Sanders, like Elizabeth Warren, all cutting commercials for him, never uttering the magical words, Gavin Newsom has done a good job for the people of California. So they've turned this into a referendum on a, quote, Republican takeover, because they cannot defend this man's record. And they've been very successful at that. If this were a fair fight, if I had the same amount of money, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Gavin Newsom would be packing already. But you run commercial after commercial after commercial with Larry Elder standing next to Donald Trump, and I did take a picture with him 5 or 6 years ago. This is a Donald Trump takeover, Republican takeover, because they feel that Donald Trump is unpopular in California because they cannot defend this man's record.
I would hate to ask you for a promise, but I'm going to ask you for one. Regardless, if this election goes in favor of you, as I think it should, and I would be very, very, very happy if it does, as well as the people of California, I'd love you to come back and spend some more time with us. If for some reason this election doesn't go the way that we want, this is just the first. Larry, you have to continue this fight. California has to be saved. And the Democrats are not going to save it. They are going to continue to ruin which is the most resourceful state in terms of natural resources in our country. They have ruined California. It has to be saved. And you are the man to lead the fight to save California, no matter what happens today.
You know, people come up to me crying, men crying, saying the same thing you're saying. Do something about crime. Do something about the fact that I cannot get my workers to come back. Do something about the fact that my business was shut down. Do something about the fact that my church was shut down while strip clubs were remaining open, while big box stores were remaining open. Do something about the fact that the cost of living has gotten to the point now where I'm thinking about leaving. Do something about rolling brownouts because our energy grid is mismanaged. Do something about the fact that we're running out of water. I cannot leave the stage now, Bo. My life has changed forever. I'm now a political force in California in general, and a real big political force in California Republican politics in particular. I'm not leaving the stage.
How do people help your campaign and help you, Larry?
To vote recall, yes on the recall, and get 10 of your friends to vote yes on the recall, and turn in your ballot. You can take it down to a voting center. Of course, make sure you sign it. Get 10 friends to vote yes on the recall, which is the first part, because if 50% plus one voter do not vote to recall Gavin Newsom, it doesn't matter who gets the most votes to replace him. I intend to get the most votes to replace him. I'm way ahead of my Republican rivals, but you have to vote to recall him, so vote yes on recall, Governor Gavin Newsom.
Larry, thank you. We want to hear from you again, please. And thank you for spending time with us on this, of all days, Election Day, Recall Day in California. Thank you, Larry.
I'll see you in Sacramento.
You sure? Well, thank you, Larry. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Elder, this is a courageous man, and he deserves. You heard him. I don't have to tell you what he says. He speaks so well for himself. And I'm not trying to say, as Joe Biden would, oh, he's articulate and clean. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio, 77 AM, crown jewel of American radio. We are going to be back after this. There are two stories, the same story in two different publications today that were so upsetting, I was actually shaken by them. We will discuss them with domestic policy advisor Diana Mee, and we are also going to discuss them with Representative Scott Perry. Stay tuned. WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Snurdy, will be back after this.
Bo knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC.
time for Radio Royalty with James Golden and America's Princess of Policy, Princess Di.
And how appropriate that Golden Lady, Jose Feliciano doing Stevie Wonder song, would bring us back to our very own Princess Di. Diana, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, James. Excellent Diana, interview with Larry Elder.
I'm glad you like that. Larry has just been amazing. And what the L.A. Times has tried to do to him is criminal, in my view.
It is.
Now, I asked you to join us today, Diana, because I very rarely get shaken by anything in the news. But when I reached out to you, I was actually shaken. Because I read a story in the Washington Post, and then I read the companion story of it in the New York Times today. The Washington Post story says top general was so fearful Trump might spark war that he made secret calls to his Chinese counterpart. And that's from the new book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. And it's concerning General Mark A. Milley. You read these stories too, and what was your takeaway from reading these stories? What should people be concerned about?
Well, I agree with you. This is not surprising so much because we've seen evidence that this is the case, that this has been a whole of government establishment working against the forces that were supportive of Trump. So this story, which is in particular centered on General Milley, which I'm calling him General White Rage, he made back channel connections with the Chinese counterpart, whose name is General Li Zhaocheng of the People's Liberation Army. So we have pulled down the statue of General Li. And now, according to this story, the Pentagon seems to have erected a new statue to a different General Li, one from China. And it looks as if, based on this reporting from Bob Woodward's new book, Peril, that there has been collusion between the highest military advisor to the president and the Chinese military. And that, according to the story, General Milley made it his business to prevent what he thought Trump might want to do. Now, the interesting thing about this, and it is so enraging, is General Milley is not in the military chain of command. He does not have the authority to do anything he did, but he did it anyway. And he went beyond the chain of command so much that, I don't know, you sent me the story as well, that Alexander Vindman, oh, say, can you see, also said that General Milley must resign. He usurped civilian authority because Milley was basically countermanding what he thought that Trump was going to do. He was just bound and determined to take away any authority that the president of the United States, who constitutionally has he runs the military, the civilian control of the military is an important aspect of the United States Constitution. And this general basically said, oh, no, I'm taking the authority. And he convened a group of generals in a war room in the Pentagon and basically said, yes, you may have heard that the president can launch a nuclear strike, but you got to keep me in the loop. I have to sign off on it, even though he has no such authority to do that. And so this was an amazing breach, and the deep state was all in on it. I am stammering because it's hard to even explain. He had the CIA director. He told his minions in the intelligence community to keep watching, scan everything, watch everything 360. He wanted to make sure that if he saw any hints of Trump doing anything militarily, that he would step in and stop him. And he didn't have the authority to do any of that.
Now, this is, to me, one of the most troubling parts in this. Our Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, General Milley, had the secret calls with the Chinese communist General Li, assuring General Li that, you know, the Chinese, according to this book, upcoming book, were worried that Donald Trump might attack them. This is the entire premise of this part of it. And so he says to General Lee,
attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you, kinetic meaning military. And if we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. Now, he said he had this back channel relationship with this Chinese general over 5 years. Now, the Washington Post thinks that this story makes Trump look bad. But the revelations here, you know, in that he's unhinged and he needs people to step in and control him. But the revelations here are so egregious that, in fact, it is the Chinese military that is running our country. Because in response, Milley told the Admiral of the Seventh Fleet to postpone military exercises because they were upsetting to China. So he was obeying General Lee in China and not the President of the United States. It's outrageous.
This is outrageous. And the idea that we have a general saying, we're going to warn you if we attack. I want to pull you back. Why this is important to me is China was threatening us. They were threatening us. We had ships in the South China Sea, which is, they are international waters. And China is asserting, we own the South China Sea, and we don't want you Americans in there. And if you dare come in there, we're going to attack you. And Trump wasn't going for it. And then our general says, don't worry, if we attack you, we'll tell you. I'm going to call you and tell you first if we attack you. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. And then to tell the Admiral of the Seventh Fleet to basically stand down, and he did not have chain of command authority to do so. So he countermanded the president's wishes and orders, and nobody stopped him, because in my opinion, the entire leadership is in agreement with what this guy did.
Well, Diana, this is where we go. We have Scott Perry coming up after the break, Representative Scott Perry, who's going to weigh in on this as well. Let me have your last word on this. What do you think this represents?
Well, we've been talking about insurrection and coup. This is what this is. This is a coup.
Thank you. Diana Mee, domestic policy advisor. I am deeply troubled by this story. I don't think I've ever read a story where I have been more troubled by what the military has done here. This man in the military, and this is just, to me, frightful. I cannot believe this happening, and this happened in America. Diana Mee, domestic policy advisor, thank you. We will be speaking with you about this story and more. James Golden here, WABC. If you want to join us on the phones today, the number is 800-848-WABC. That is 848-9222. I purposely didn't give out the numbers at the top of the show because we are going to take calls, but they'll come at the very end. We are going to talk to Representative Scott Perry. This is a serious story, folks. What if this is true? I'm going to say again, if this is true, and I've been very careful to frame this as if what we are reading in the Washington Post and New York Times is true, this is a story unlike any other in American history. And the Republican Party, wherever you are today, you had better understand this is as serious as it gets, and you need to speak up about this and demand investigations immediately as to how this could happen in the United States of America. This is James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77, a.k.a. Snurley. I'm back with you after this.
Now, here's the soul of excellence, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snurley, on 77 WABC.
WABC Talk Radio 77, New York. This is James Golden with you, a.k.a. Bo Snurley. This is a troubling day, ladies and gentlemen. James Ingram brings us back. We have with us on the line Representative Scott Perry from the 10th District of Pennsylvania, which, by the way, is in our listening area. And so Scott Perry, for those of you that don't know, served with distinction in our United States military in the Army. If I went through his, he's a combat veteran before he came to Congress, and if I went through his distinguished record in our military. He left as a brigadier general. It would take me minutes that we don't have. So this is a man who knows the military, who now serves us in Congress, Representative Scott Perry, and he's a friend. Scott Perry, welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, do I call you James or Bo? I don't want to give you away.
You call me whatever you want to call. Whatever you want to call me.
I've been listening to you since 1988, and now we're on the radio together. But listen, this news that, and let's face it, this is the, you know, liberal mainstream media reporting this.
Right.
You know, Woodward, no fan to Trump or conservatives, or quite honestly to the United States of America, in my opinion. But that aside, you know, if true, let's talk about if true. This is not Argentina. This is not Nicaragua. This is happening in the United States of America, where, you know, one of the highest ranking officers, the advisor to the president on all affairs military, is potentially, you know, if true. I think it's important to say if true. Everybody deserves due process their day in
court.
That's
right.
We need to know what the facts are here. But if true, certainly seditious behavior. And with regard to China, which is incredibly concerning, that would be treasonous behavior. That would be treasonous. China does count America as its enemy. Even though the United States doesn't count China as an enemy, China does count America as an enemy. And to indicate that you would, that General Milley would provide advance warning of an attack of an avowed enemy of the United States. There's no doubt that meets the definition of providing aid and comfort to the enemy. I mean, Benedict Arnold, one of the originators of that in America, did the same thing, did essentially the same thing to George Washington and the cause of America. And in days past, the penalties for that are as severe as they can get. So this is a serious, serious matter. And I must say this, while you might disagree, and I served, Bo, as you know, under many presidents, oftentimes disagreeing vehemently with their politics, with their political positions. But I served in uniform. Your job when you're in the military, when you serve in uniform, is to follow orders.
That's right.
There's a reason that saying exists, that ours is not to question why, ours is just to do and die. And it doesn't mean it always feels fair or is fair, but you know that when you sign up, and it, you know, and that goes with the territory. And so to think that this guy had the temerity, the audacity to think that he was going to rise above the Constitution, the will of the American people, and the duly elected leader of the United States. It doesn't say you got to like him. And here's what you do, Bo, if you find it that objectionable, you resign and move on and go speak your piece out of uniform. But when you're in uniform, you must be relied upon to defend the interests of the United States and our Republican form of government, not to be decide you're going to be the junta, you know, the new dictator, because you don't like the person that's in office. That's reserved for other places around the globe. And of course, the globe is replete with them. And those are sorry places to exist, where people live under oppression every single day. It's stunning. It's absolutely shocking.
Now, the Washington Post version of this story says the first call between General Milley and General Lee from the Communist People's Army took place after General Milley reviewed intelligence suggesting that the Chinese government, the Communist Chinese government, believed that we were preparing to attack them. That belief, says Bob Woodward and Bob Casa, were based on tensions over military exercises in the South China Sea and deepened by Trump's belligerent rhetoric toward China. Let me just pull back a second. Under Barack Obama, China built a blue water navy. Most people don't care about that. I do. The blue water navy that China developed brings them closer to parity with our own navy and gives them the ability to conduct military operations all around the world. That's why I call a blue water navy. They have been intent on pushing the United States out of South Asia. I've had my feet in the waters in the South China Sea when I visited the Philippines. Okay? This South China Sea issue is one that could threaten the stability of that entire region. China told us to get out. We don't want your ships sailing in anywhere in this. These are international waters. They had no right to say that, and President Trump stood up to it. Yet it is described as Trump's belligerent rhetoric, not the belligerent actions of the Chinese government. That's number one. Then General Lee is called by our own chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, who tells him, we're not going to attack you or take any kind of kinetic operation against you. General Lee, he says, according to this, and again, if true, that's why, according to what's in the Washington Post, General Lee says, our general, you and I have known each other for 5 years now. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. This is stunning.
Yeah, you have it exactly right. Let's remember who we're dealing with, because while we might all be familiar with anything in the kitchen or half the things in your home that you turn over that say made in China, the leadership in China, that's the Communist Party of China, views the United States as an enemy. Let me say that again. They view us as an enemy. They seek to dominate us. That's why they have a blue water navy. That's why they steal every single one of the military plans that they can. That's why they corner the market on critical minerals. That's why they do all the subversive things that they do in the United States, because they want to defeat us. And to say that that President Trump's response is the problem, if true, because I don't want to disparage unduly, and quite honestly, I don't trust the author of this book any further than I could throw him, or the author of these articles, or the publications they work for. But if this is true, you really do have to wonder about General Milley's oath to office, his security clearance, and the transmissions between leaders of state and foreign countries that are being monitored. Now, just remind everybody that Lieutenant General Flynn, then the incoming National Security Advisor, was monitored for perfectly appropriate conversations with Kislyak, and almost sent to prison for it. His life was destroyed, essentially. And apparently the NSA is not monitoring conversations between the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and his counterpart in Communist China, a country that calls the United States its enemy and wishes to defeat. And it'd be great to see that transcript, because we know for sure that they must have it. So, I'm going to reserve condemnation here. But again, if true, this is going to be this absolutely should be something that we have not seen in recent history, which would be the investigation followed by the court-martial of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, followed by a punishment that is appropriate for betraying the trust of your nation in high office. I just want to be very careful here, because, again, if true, this is just shocking. And it just goes to show you how far and how deep and how sinister and unhinged this hatred of President Trump, the duly elected president of the United States, by individuals that disagreed with either his methods or his rhetoric or what have you. But I will tell you this, Bo, especially for our enemies around the globe, and quite honestly, especially the Communist Party of China, I want them to not know. I want them to be concerned about what America might do on every minute. I want them to sleep uneasy. Because I will tell you, the people that know what China is up to in the United States, or regarding the United States of America, we sleep uneasy.
Now, one last thing, and then thank you for spending so much time with us. I know you have other media to do. The call also talks about Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's conversations with General Milley, and she tells the general he's crazy. Speaking of President Trump, he's crazy. You know he's crazy. He's crazy. And what he did yesterday is further evidence of his craziness. And our general, the Joint Chief of Staff, says to Nancy Pelosi, I agree with you on everything. Now, I thought these people were supposed to keep politics out of it.
Yeah, how fascinating it is, right? He after he marched to or accompanied the president to the church that was burned right outside the White House, then he had to go on national television and apologize for what he considered the politicization of his uniform, of his position in uniform. Yet we find out those are his comments to the speaker, who is a partisan Democrat. And we understand that that's her role and that's fine. But look, it goes both ways. What we're finding, let's just call it what it is. General Milley is a partisan who hated President Trump and was essentially working for at least the Democrat or the left side of the aisle, the Democrat Party in the United States, and potentially, based on these reports, potentially working for the adversaries of the United States. Let's just call it what it is if this is true.
Thank you. Representative Scott Perry, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll speak with you very soon.
Best of luck to you, James. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you too, my friend. WABC James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, we are going to take your calls. So just be ready for rapid phone calls when we get back. WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly, and we are back with you after this.
Welcome to the golden age of radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on 77 WABC.
WABC Talk Radio 77, welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, on this, a troubling day, if you are following the news. Scott Perry had it right. Scott Perry used two words that I very rarely use and he very rarely uses. And they are all conditioned on the word if. If these stories are true, what is being reported is seditious at the very least. At the very least. What time is it, Rich?
James, it's time for the clip of the day.
Let's hear it.
This is the James Golden clip of the day.
We're debating democracy in this country because of Trump and Trumpism. We're better than this moment. We're better than the last 4 years. We're better than Trump and Trumpism. Vote no on this recall.
Gavin Newsom. Yeah, oh, please. It would just be such a beautiful day around the world if Larry Elder wins this race. There are a lot of other stories that I didn't get to today, folks. I could not. We had to spend time with that story. This is potentially, in the Washington Post and New York Times, one of the most egregious stories in American history. And I don't say that lightly. And when you heard Representative Perry compare it to what Benedict Arnold did to General Washington, he is absolutely right. This is as egregious as that. Okay, there's another story that we're going to get to more in depth tomorrow, but you can find it today. I hope we can get to it tomorrow. In the New York Post, China's most famous defector to America warned U.S. intelligence agencies of the coronavirus in November 2019. This should also raise a lot of questions. And Joe Biden has been booed everywhere, and people are wondering who's running the White House, because once again, when he started to speak in Idaho, he went off message and somebody cut his mic. Not the first time it happened. But I promise we'd get to phones. We have to do rapid phones, folks, so please get right to your point. Rich, where do we start?
James, let's start with Joe in Fairfield.
Joe, welcome to the program. What is your thought today?
Real quick. Hello, James. Nancy Pelosi, quite corrupt. She learned very well from her father, brother, running Baltimore. But her nephew is Newsom, by some marriage of an in-law. And that would be tough for Larry Elder, who's very impressive, brilliant.
Yes, he is.
Because they control the machine. They control the machine there, and they're extremely corrupt.
And that's why they need to go. Rich, where do we go next?
Next, we go to Joanne in Staten Island.
Welcome, Joanne, to the program. James Golden, a.k.a. Sturley, with you. What's on your mind today, Joanne?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Joanne.
When are the Republicans going to learn? Democrats always accuse Republicans of what they are guilty of. Joe Biden is compromised by China. He was the one with two brain aneurysms. They should be calling him crazy. And this is to switch the narrative against Trump again. And let me tell you, the Republicans are going to be hiding. They will be afraid of Democrats. James, I'll tell you right now, they'll be hiding. They should be accusing Joe Biden of craziness, compromised by China. This is not Trump. But they will hide. Republicans will not be out there. They're afraid of Democrats. You know, it's the same old story.
Joanne, I hope that that's not the case this time. This demands immediate investigation. And I'm sad to say I expected to see so many more Republicans speaking up already than are. This deserves to be at the front of the news cycle. Rich, where are we going next?
James, let's say hi to Larry in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, how are you, Larry?
Yes, very good. You know, a few days ago when I heard about the gorilla mask incident, and Larry Elder said it's not his personality to press for police action, I was instantaneously very disappointed. Because Democrats go to court right away, and we have to use their tactics. He has an equal protection civil rights case against the LAPD, especially when they made short shrift and light with that joke about the gorilla mask, okay? If you recall, when Soho Karen tackled that 14-year-old black boy, the chief of detectives, who happens to be black in New York, went to California to make an arrest, and they facilitated him. They assisted him very, very nicely, okay? That in itself is a denial of equal protection.
Okay, I got you. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Do we have time for one more, Rich?
Sure. Let's take Paul in the Bronx.
Hello, Paul. Welcome. What are your thoughts today?
Hi, Larry. Thank God for black conservatives like you and Larry. I want to alert you to a friend of yours that needs help. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas. My Maranac headquarters is flooded. They're trying to raise money online at projectveritas.com. They're in dire need of funding to replace their headquarters. I know he's a friend of yours. Maybe you could have him on your show.
Yes, he is a friend of mine. Yes, he is a friend of mine. I'm sure Lisa is listening to this as well, and we're going to reach out to James. Thank you for that heads up. I had no idea. And this is why I have the best calls in the world. Thank you so much for letting us know. One more. Where are we going?
Let's go quickly to Gail in Staten Island.
Gail, you have the last word today. Please make it short.
All right. I think we should send AOC on a raft to Cuba with her friend Angela Davis and let her raise her fist up high and take all her followers with her because she has it so oppressed here. Poor little thing.
Yeah, poor little thing was at the Met last night at a gala, one of the most expensive galas in New York, wearing a dress that said tax the rich. Look, folks, this is a troubling day in America. This story is very serious, but the fact still remains. We are in the greatest city in the world, New York City, and we must remain optimistic at all times. We are in the greatest nation that humanity has ever witnessed. That is the United States of America. It is our birthright to be free. It is our birthright to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as our founders intended. God bless you all. God protect you all. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley, and I'll be back tomorrow.